The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at Life Streams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
It's always good to be involved in what God is doing. You know, God will speak to you today. He's probably spoken to you already in many ways, but God will speak. He loves to speak. About a month ago, I was on an overnight prayer retreat with one of my friends, and I try and do it about three or four times a year, and it's always a great time. We get there in the afternoon, just sort of wander the beach, praising God, singing, praying, and then in the morning we wake up and normally go our own way and do our own personal time with God, and that then we then share, and that then leads us into new areas to go. And I remember thinking to myself, I was in the middle of reading Revelation. And this is how my thinking went. Probably God won't speak to me out of Revelation, so I'll go and read a psalm this morning. How dumb is that? You know, it's almost like, well, I'll sort of hedge my bets as to where God might speak to me the most. And then I thought, no, that's dumb. Go where you're up to. You're up to Revelation 3, go with that. So I read these words. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. My name's David, for those of you who don't know. I think David's mentioned once in Revelation. And here I was thinking, this is probably not going to be relevant for me. And God says, I hold your key. I hold your key, David. I am the God who is holy and true. I hold your key. I must say it got my attention seeing my name in the passage that I was not expecting to actually mention anything to me about. We read on, what he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength. Yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. You know, as I kept reading through that, I came back to this passage and I thought, you know, this is for me. It's like God says, I know it's for you, you dumbskill. It's for you. It's for you. You know, a couple of things hit me out of that. Just the reminder that the word of God is living and active. Whether you're reading through Leviticus, Psalms, or Revelation, it's living and active. And God says, I want to take the word and apply it into your life when you are prepared to read it. Continue to read the word of God. Continue to actually ask questions of the word of God. Go for broke in the word of God. God loves to speak to us through the word. And the other thing that came out of that first passage there was just where it says that I am the one who is holy and true. And it just reminded me again, I need to keep in the forefront of my mind, regardless of what's going on, whether it's great or not so great, the reality of who God is. In this case, he used the words holy and true. Holy is a word to me, it's not someone who's far off and so good that we're never going to get there, but it's holy to me brings out the total beauty of who God is, all of his character, his love. His grace, his mercy, his faithfulness, his redemption. That's the holiness of God, the awesomeness, the almighty God, the sovereign Lord. And he's true. He doesn't lie. He tells the truth. That's why the word of God is good to read, because we at least get his word on our situations. God who is holy and true. And it just said again for me, I need to keep the perspective of who God is in all my situations. God is at work. God is always at work. I know your deeds. God knows everything about me. He knows what I do. He knows what I don't do. He knows what I do well. He knows what I don't do well. He knows my feelings. He knows my worries. He knows my scenarios. He knows everything about me. He knows me. He knows you. God knows us. That's not to be scared of. That's to be embraced, because this God is a God who is for you, not against you. He knows me. My life is in his hands. I know that you have little strength, he says to the in the right, in the here, in Revelation. I know that you have little strength. Sometimes that's exactly how I feel. Haven't got a lot of strength. And God's saying, that's okay. You live in my strength. If you feel like at times you don't have much strength, that's fine. Live in the strength that God gives. And there's an abundance of that. An abundance of that. You know, God was telling me then, and he continues to tell me, because of the reality of this, that God holds my key. God holds the keys of my life. And I can trust him to live in wonder and anticipation of the open doors that are before me. God's going to open doors. He is opening doors. He has opened doors. And he shuts some doors. And he's locked some doors. And he's unlocked some doors. But live more and more in wonder and anticipation of that rather than in fear or in worry. That's my role. You know, as I thought back through that, I thought God really said to me fairly clearly, I want you to speak this to the church. So what he spoke to me a month ago, I hope there's something of that that he wants to speak into your life. You know, think back over your life. Can you look back and maybe shut your eyes just at this point, just so you get a picture of it, of some of the doors that God has opened up in your life? Might have been relationship-wise, might have been circumstantial, it might have been business, whatever. But just the way God has opened up some doors, or the way he shut some doors, just think about some of the ones, particularly the ones that might have changed your life. Father, as we reflect on those, sometimes we're not that thankful because sometimes life has been pretty hard for some here. And so I want to pray this morning that as we look back on the doors that have opened up and the ones that have shut, and as we've walked through them or as we've tried to push up against them, Lord, you know what's going on in our lives right now. You know our fears, you know our worries, you know the joys as we look back on some of those doors that have opened up, where you've introduced us to new people, or you opened up a whole new scenario. Father, thank you for those. And I pray that as we continue to look at this today, that you'd continue to help us to open up in terms of the doors you're opening up to us, that we'll look at walking by faith through them. Father, thank you for the fact that you're for us. I pray that everyone here would know that this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as I looked at my past, there were some fairly big doors that opened up for me that I walked through. I remember when I was 17, in year 12 at school, I was at a boarding school. Wasn't the most exciting time of my life. I was really not enjoying it. But a friend of mine who was a year older than me was a part of the church, South Perth Church of Christ, which was this church in the old building. And he played basketball and they needed someone to fill in. And he rang me and he said, can you fill in for one game? I said, sure. They played down at the Claremont Showgrounds, which is near where I was at school. And he picked me up and I went and had this game of basketball, one game of basketball. And the next year I was at university, just living in Netherlands there, UWA. And I'd been raised in a church. And I thought I should really get involved in a church somewhere. Which church do I go to? I thought, oh, South Perth Church of Christ has got basketball teams. I'll go there. 42 years later, I'm still here. You know, that was a door that opened up through one game, through one friend who invited once to play a game. And out of that came a whole new life for me, whole new way of living. I remember when I was just being married, a friend in this church, David Bond, who some of you know, David gave me a brochure on Venture for Victory, which was a Christian basketball team that went to the Philippines and Hong Kong every year, every January, 4 weeks. And he said, you should apply for this. And I looked at it and immediately there's big dollar signs there. And I'm thinking, we just got married, we're broke. I said, well, God, if you want me to go on this, then you got to pick me in the team. And the money's got to come in from somewhere. But I remember thinking, I'm not good enough to go on this. I felt God saying, well, apply anyway. And sure enough, I got on the team, had an unbelievable time in the Philippines. So I spent my first wedding anniversary in the Philippines. Spent my second wedding anniversary in the Philippines. I thank God for the door opened up for me to marry my wife, Rayma. She's a blessing. But just that little pamphlet opened a door for me to say, I'll give it a shot. Now, some things, some doors that open up don't have such big ramifications. But for me, that was a huge one because I knew after that second trip over there, I was only 24 then, I knew that somewhere, sometime in my life, I'd be full-time in ministry. God just touched my heart. And I thought it was going to be in the Philippines. And so we started pushing doors. We both were teachers. We started pushing doors to go and teach in a big mission school over there, School for Missionaries Kids called Faith Academy. But every mission organization we tried to push a door in, they seemed to shut. And I thought, this is weird. I thought they'd open arms, welcome us. You know, yeah, come along. But it's like they were putting up barriers. And I thought, wow, okay. But a few years later, the opportunity came for me to go full-time in ministry here, in youth ministry. And it's interesting, over my years of going to Asia, particularly for ministry, I realized I could never have lived in Asia. You know, some people like Alicia Faulkner, who shared last week, absolutely is passionate about living in the slums in Bangkok. For me, it would kill me. I just couldn't do it. And it's like God says, I know you. But he opened it up here and I can still have a ministry to Asia as well. You know, sometimes God opens doors in ways that just impact a lot of aspects of our life and a lot of other people. Sometimes they're only small things. I was thinking about the guys as I was sharing here this morning, Brett and Derek, and just thinking how ridiculous things started about 5 or so years ago with a few guys, few of them, throwing baskets when they should have been studying for their Year 12 exams. But out of that comes a ministry that's opened up and they're able to be advocates for compassion and touched a lot of people's lives. You know, God opens doors and we walk through them. What doors has he opened up in your life? What doors is he wanting to open up for you? What are you noticing? You know, the open doors are not always huge things. Sometimes they're only small. But they're always on about life. The doors that God opens up is always on about opening up life doors. Doors where you give life to people. Or doors where you receive life. Or you share life together. It's about kingdom stuff. Whether it's financial, whether it's relationships, whether it's business, whatever it is, it's always about opening up possibilities for us to be blessed and to bless others. You know, sometimes they come wrapped in funny shapes. A while ago, I was fairly badly treated, in my opinion, by someone. It wasn't someone from this church. But I felt I was pretty hard done by the way they spoke to me, the way they treated me. And it sits in your gut, you know what I mean? Just sits here. And the next day, I was just on a walk and I felt God say, why don't you pray for that person? I did. I thought, yeah, this person's got a few pressures in their life. So I prayed for them. And not long after, on that same day, I saw them. And they were involved in some stuff, and I could see they needed some assistance. And so I thought, I'll go and help them. Initially, reluctantly. But I just went over there, I said, oh, can I give you a hand? And I helped them do whatever it was, and some good stuff came out of that. And I thought to myself, you know, sometimes the doors that God opens up is a door to help me grow in the way I deal with being badly treated or being abused or being ripped off. It's just a door that opens up through an unfortunate situation or a tough situation. Sometimes the door that opens up is just one where I can pray for someone or where you can pray for someone. God brings their name to mind or you're involved in some situation with them or they hurt you, or they bless you. Sometimes it's just an opportunity to pray for people. You see, open doors is always about opportunities for life. Sometimes the door opens up for you to serve, to help someone, to bless them. It's not always life-changing events, but it might be a life-changing event for that person at that time. I just encourage you to keep looking for them. They're always there. Keep looking for the open doors that God is opening up. Don't try and force down the shut ones. Step in faith through the open doors, the doors of life. You know, sometimes God uses us to open the doors in other people's lives, to encourage other people or to empower them, to release them in some way. A number of you here would know Tam Jones. Tam shared her story, or part of her story, here probably 6 or 8 months ago on the platform. And Tam's a single mum. And in her own words, she said, "I used to sit in the back corner and wonder, will I ever be of any value to God again? Been through a tough divorce." And she said, "Will God ever use me again?" She was low on confidence, as you might imagine. And so she'd sit there. But Mel Crothers, who was our worship minister at the time, Mel was friends with her, and she befriended her more and more and opened up the possibilities for her to be involved in ministry. So she involved her with different things, got her involved on the worship team, got her involved in things like organizing creative stuff for the worship thing. And over time, Tam blossomed and flourished. I mean, she was the main player in the organization with Matt of the Carols Night. Sometimes God will use you to open other people up to what he wants to do. He will open a door for you to move in to encourage. You know, it might be just the door of inviting someone home for lunch. Might just say to them, "You are noticed." Not necessarily big things. For Tam, it was a huge thing. And she would say it changed her life. It changed her life. God's got your keys. He holds your keys. But sometimes you can help in unlocking other people's lives. He loves to do that. Now, some of you might have been here the first service 4 or 5 weeks ago when Sally Webster shared from just at this front seat here. She shared how she was dying of cancer, and she'd just come to grips with the fact that her life was ending soon. It was quite an emotional first service. Pretty powerful. And Sally passed away Christmas Eve. And it was a sad time. We had a funeral on Tuesday. But you know, the 5 years of having cancer for Sally opened up a door for her to share the gospel with gusto. You know, it seems that if there's a possibility of I'm not going to live much longer, there's a number of things can happen. For her, she saw it as an opportunity to give and to bless and to serve and to share the gospel. And she went for it. She went for it. She wrote down things that she had her husband read at her funeral from her. She wanted the people to know. You know, her husband, Evan, he's actually going to share some stuff here next Sunday about the impact of that morning having on Sally. So be here next Sunday morning. But he shared that on the morning of the funeral, he woke up and the sky was quite grey. And he said as he looked out the window, he thought, "Oh, yeah, it's a bit of a grey day today. It's his wife's funeral." And there was a text on his phone from one of his friends who said, "Look, I'm desperately sorry. I won't be able to get to the funeral today." And he said, "I'm sitting down just having a cup of tea, just thinking about people who will be here and people who won't." And then he said, "I thought of my wife, Sally, and the fact that her body will be here, but she's not here." And he said, "Then, out of nowhere, my front door," that he said, "I locked the night before and didn't know to open it that morning," suddenly opened by itself, didn't slam open, just opened up. And a shaft of light came pouring into the room of sunlight. And he said, maybe Sally is here. But what I was thinking was, God is here. God is bringing light into a very dark situation. You see, God loves to do that. God loves to open doors in our life when it looks pretty bleak, and he wants to just put some light on the situation. You know, we sing a song about bringing light in the darkness around you, about bringing life in our heart and our soul, about bringing hope to the hopeless and broken. That's what God loves to do, to bring light through an open door. He opens the door, and Evan said to me, it was locked. It was locked. I hadn't gone near it. Meticulously, I locked it the night before, and it just opened up. And the shaft of light came in. You see, God's saying to us always, I am there. I am always present in your life. In the tough times, my light shines in on the darkness. And I know some of you can attest to that. I know just some of your stories. God wants us always to know the reality of his presence. And he loves to surprise us with that light that just comes through a door that was previously shut and it just opens up. Keep trusting him. Keep trusting him. He's there. He's at work. He never leaves you. As I said before, all the doors that God opens in our life, either for us or others, are for life-giving. That kingdom stuff. It's good stuff. You know, as I look through Scripture, as I look through the Gospels, I look through the Old Testament, we read many stories. And I won't go to all of them, obviously, but there's many stories there of where God opened doors for people to be miraculously impacted or to be used, like Moses or Noah opens the door for them to be involved in huge stuff. And otherwise, other times it's small stuff. Opens the door for a woman to be healed, for a paralytic to walk, because God just happened to be there in the person of Jesus at the right time. You know, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 8, but I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost, because a great door for effective work has opened up to me. But there are many who oppose me. You know, some people think that when God opens a door, that it's sort of quite plain sailing, like a carpet walk or a walk in the park. No. Paul gives us the clarity there. When God opens doors for effective ministry, there is opposition. We have an enemy called the evil one, the devil, who is constantly opposing anything about life-giving kingdom stuff. So whenever God opens doors, it doesn't mean to say it's just a walk in the park. Some people's theology is, oh, I walked through this door that I think God opened. Oh, it's a bit tough for me. Maybe it wasn't the door that God opened. I'll go back another way. That's not what God's on about. God's saying, no, this is the direction I want you to go. I've opened it up for you. Go through this way. Yes, you will have opposition. You will have persecution. You will have struggle. And I was chatting to Matt Sonsi. Matt led to this morning. Matt's been on staff this year, started about February, March, in the whole area of worship and discipleship. And Matt shared his story here back in March about how God very clearly orchestrated for them to be involved in ministry in this church. Very clear. And I said to him at the time, I said, Matt, no matter what happens, no matter how tough it gets, you know that being on ministry on staff here wasn't just a good idea. You know that it was God saying, yes, I want you here. And if you haven't heard the story, then ask Matt to share that story. It's a great story. But Matt's had a lot of opposition. He's had a lot of challenges this year. A lot of struggles. A lot of things that have been difficult. It hasn't been to say everyone hates him or anything, but it's been pretty tough. You see, the reality is that as God opens doors, it doesn't always mean it's a nice, easy little track to walk down. You know, I was thinking about the persecuted church. The last few months since ISIS has been on the scene, it's just been something that's grabbed my heart more, just praying for the persecuted church. I get a number of magazines related to that, and you read stories all the time of what's going on. But whether it's in Iraq or Iran or Syria or Egypt or northern Nigeria, you know, we heard Steve Davis share about what's going on in northern Nigeria. Just some awful stuff against Christian people. when they're being persecuted to the max and they're in fear of their lives. They're in prison for no other reason apart from believing in Jesus Christ. Pray for them. Pray for the persecuted church. They go through far more than we do. But pray for them. You know, just reading some of the stories, when they go into prisons, suddenly God opens a door for them to share the gospel. And the people can't do a thing about it because they're all the prisoners in there and they're just sharing the gospel, but they're in prison for sharing the gospel. But it's not a picnic. They get beaten up. They get attacked. It's a challenge, you know. They've seen loved ones murdered. Stuff that we don't have to deal with, as far as I know, with our situations. Jesus says, I know that you have little strength, yet you have not denied my name. You have kept my word. Can I encourage you to keep praying? Even pick one nation where there's stuff going on, whether it's northern Iraq or wherever it might be, pick a nation and pray for the persecuted church in that nation. Pray for the Christians. Pray for strength. Pray for wisdom. Pray for discernment. Pray for encouragement. They need it. Because God is opening doors in those nations and the gospel is getting in there and people are coming to Christ in droves. The church in these nations is growing at faster rates than it is in the Western world. It's exciting, but it's costing them. So partner with them in this. In the open doors that God is opening up there for the gospel, partner with them. We're not going to go to Iraq. Well, I don't. You might want to. But most of us are not going to go to these places. But we can pray for the people who are there. Pray that God will keep doing the work there. God holds their keys. Some of them are going to die today. God holds our keys. You know, in verse 8 it says, I have set before you an open door that no one can shut. The big door, the main door in life is the door to eternity. The door of salvation, eternal destiny. That's what God has opened up for us. He holds the keys of that. He holds the keys of hell and Hades and death. He's defeated death. He's opened up the door of salvation for us. Jesus Christ is all power, all authority. King of kings, Lord of lords. We sang about it this morning. Often. He's opened up that door. That's why you and I and many others are saved. Because he opened up the door for us to actually find him. Or to recognize that he found us. To receive the gift. It's a great, great thing to remember. Our security is not in a secure lifestyle. Our security is in Christ. If you're in Christ, that's where our security is. He holds your key. The key to your eternal destiny, but the key to all these doors that you're going through on a regular basis. He holds your key. But the big one is the eternal destiny. My encouragement is, if you're in Christ, believe it. Live it out. Live in wonder and anticipation of what he's going to do in your life. Do not fear. Most often written command in Scripture, do not fear. Regardless of what's going on in our life. You know, the thing is, in our world, the ultimate prison is death. But Jesus Christ has overcome that. He's defeated death. So we can live in freedom of worrying about death. Holds the key of that. Holds the keys of that. Now, Jesus was talking to Mary and Martha at the death of their brother. And he said these words to Martha. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. So you will live spiritually and eternally even though you die physically. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Never die spiritually. Everyone dies physically. Then he says to Martha, do you believe this? I guess that's the question he asks us. Do you believe this? Do you believe that he holds your key? Do you believe that your security is in Christ? Then live it out. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Walk in the freedom of that. Walk in the freedom and the wonder of the life that you have. And if you're not in Christ, if you don't know the security of being in Christ, then can I just say, do it? get with it. Give your life to him. There's a wide open door there. And he says, I just want to embrace you. I want to welcome you into my family. Christ died that you can live. He rose again, conquered death. He holds your key. Don't fight against him. Go with him. We'd love to chat more with you. If you're not in Christ, we'd love to chat more about what that means for you. Please talk to us about it. So again, just pray that you trust God in the journeys of life. Keep walking through the doors in faith that he opens up. He's a God who wants to bless you and bless others. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for these words that you open a door that no one can shut. You open many doors in our life. Thank you for the past doors that you've opened up. Thanks for the shut ones that in some ways we wish had been opened, but now we look and we think, wow, I'm glad I didn't go through that one. Thank you that you opened our lives up. Thank you that we can trust you. Father, I pray for everyone here that they would know what it is to live in the security of being in Christ.